from the Liberty University broadcast studio.
It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. So during the commercial break, I decided to dive into some of my coronavirus provisions. I was enjoying a lovely package of Ritz peanut butter crackers and sipping my community coffee, the praline pecan blend. It's very delicious. Great to be with you. I'm sitting here reading through some of the hate mail we've been getting so far today. Caleb and Avery, gotten about, about two dozen or so death threats.
I just read one of them just now, and oh my gosh.
A death threat is pretty empty in a quarantine situation, isn't it?
I mean, yeah.
You can't leave your house.
Was that the one about the horse?
Yes. Oh my gosh. He said he was ready. He was okay to talk about stuff, and no, you were clearly not if you're using that kind of language. No. You're not mature enough for that.
No. He wanted, yes.
He wanted to talk. I just don't know if it's the kind of talk that
you know. We can't even read this on the all that to say, there is some pretty messed up people out there across America. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you share facts about what's happening, or if you share something that goes against the mainstream media narrative, that makes you a conspiracy theorist. And the fact that I went down to my neighborhood hospital here in Brooklyn, New York, and I filmed a video that showed there was no mass hysteria outside the building, there were no long lines of people wanting to get in to get tested, all of a sudden that makes me guilty of something, and I don't know quite what that is, except that I'm not buying into the mainstream media hysteria. Yes, we're dealing with a very serious health crisis in this country, but is it in fact is it the apocalypse? I don't believe it is. I just don't believe it is. 844-747-8868. We're getting to your calls, so hang tight, because the question is, do you believe the government's telling you everything about this virus? And I've got a lot of questions about that. I want to go, though, right now to the newsmaker line. Congressman Thomas Massie from Kentucky. Congressman, wow, what a week you had last week, sir.
Hey, I'm glad they're hating on you now, because I was the most hated man Friday.
Well, I didn't want to introduce you as that, but yeah, I think it was. there's a pretty good argument that could be made. Congressman, it's great to have you with us. I just want to say thank you as a taxpayer because, again, I think that the left was using this as an opportunity to get their leftist, holiday wish list passed through Congress, and mission accomplished.
Oh, absolutely. Take the $6 trillion number for this total bailout, divide it by 100 million families. That's $60,000 per family that's going to be injected into our economy somewhere. But each working adult gets $1,200. Tell me, the math doesn't add up. 95% of this money is going somewhere else. And I'm telling people $1,200 is the cheese in the trap. And the trap here is socialism. It's worse than socialism, actually. It's cronyism. They're going to make sure all the shareholders are whole on this deal. But my objection wasn't really so much about the bill. It was about violating the Constitution to pass it. Now, sometimes bills pass by unanimous consent in Congress, but congressmen are in town. They're actually there. They were proposing, and they were sending out emails, Pelosi and our Republican leadership, telling people to stay home. Don't worry. They got this. They'll pass it by unanimous consent. And I had to quote the Constitution. It says that a quorum must be present to do business, and a quorum in this case is 216, because that's half of Congress. We have like 432 seats or 33, yeah, right now, filled. And by the way, Todd, I was right. I was right about the Constitution. They ultimately had to get at least half of Congress there on Friday. Now, they're mad at me because they had to go to work, and they were saying that they shouldn't have to expose themselves to the virus. But meanwhile, they're telling truckers and grocery store baggers and the Amazon distribution center workers, they're saying that they're essential and they better go to work so that the congressman can eat. By the way, the congressman make $174,000 a year and have some of the best health care in the country. So that didn't Yeah,
Congressman,
go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. I want to get your reaction to the president. You know, the president called you a backbencher, says you need to be thrown out of the party. Were you surprised by the president's reaction?
Not really. I knew what was coming. When people say that I did this for a political reason, I knew that the president was going to come against me. I'd already been warned. He called me a third-rate grandstander. I think I'm at least second-rate. I mean, I'm kind of offended at the third-rate thing. But listen, you know you're doing something right when Nancy Pelosi calls you a dangerous nuisance. Because a nuisance is somebody that can't do anything. A dangerous nuisance implies that I was actually effective in making them all come to work. And,
you know what bothers me about this, Congressman? Yeah, is Senator John Kennedy, and we've had him on this show a number of times. I like the guy. I think he's a great wordsmith, very humorous guy. He was on one of the Fox shows over the weekend saying, you know, just blasting, this is pornography, pornography. I'm sitting here watching this going, well, Senator, you voted for it. You voted for, I mean, seriously, I mean, not a single Republican who voted for this has any right to denounce this package. None.
Oh, no, none whatsoever. And that's the other thing. 96 senators showed up and voted, 96 out of 100. And Nancy Pelosi was telling everybody to stay home. And they did get a quorum on Friday. And by the way, I requested a recorded vote. Never since I've been in Congress, which has been 7.5 years, has a recorded vote ever been denied. But they did it, even though they had enough people to pass it. Wouldn't have delayed this bill by even an hour. And they refused a recorded vote because they didn't want members to go on the record in what I'm calling the largest wealth transfer in the history of mankind, from the middle class to the moneyed class.
Congressman, over the weekend, we found out that the Kennedy Center, which got millions of dollars in funding, turned around and laid off a bunch of their workers.
Yeah. Well, listen, Pelosi got that in the bill, but she, if you listen to her, just take her at her word. She said that this bill, which is the third coronavirus bill, by the way, I voted for the first one because it addresses the virus. But this third bill, she said, is just a down payment on the fourth bill. And Todd, that's why I stood up on this third bill. If nobody had stood up on the third bill and required them to come and pass it if they wanted to do it, then there's not a chance that you could have had people show up on the fourth bill. And if you give Nancy Pelosi carte blanche to run the tables while nobody's in town, let her use the gavel with one member making motions on the floor, the president loses leverage. So I feel like we gave the president leverage by requiring Pelosi to drag Democrats to vote, to come to Congress. And I think it'll help us in his negotiation on the fourth bill. And by the way, the one false media narrative that's out there is that I somehow delayed this bill. The president's bill signing happened right on time. It didn't delay it at all. But, man, I've kicked a hornet's nest. The president got mad. A lot of people are mad at me. But I'm getting support back home. And if anybody hears this and wants to support me, it's thomasmassey.com. And because this made my reelection very difficult. I didn't do this for political purposes. I took this vote knowing that it could cost me an election.
Well, and I get that, Congressman, I do. And it troubles me because I think everybody in America understood what was happening here. And it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. And you're right. I think this does put us on a path towards socialism, especially if we're looking at, because nobody, Congressman, are they telling you when this thing is going to be over with? Because they're not really, I don't think anybody up there really knows.
You know, some of the doctors that are advising the politicians in Washington, D.C. say that it's going to last until July and August, and that it may subside. They say quiescent. It'll go quiescent because of the summer, but then it'll come back in September. Look, what they're doing to our country, these governors, and I know the situation in New York is not the same as the situation in Kentucky, but in Kentucky, they've shut down our entire economy here. Like, we can't, people are going to start starving. People will at least be malnourished. They're not going to be getting their insulin. There's going to be more suicides. I think the most compassionate thing and the thing that will lead to the fewest loss of lives is not to shut this economy down for months. We've got to open it back up to some degree and soon.
Well, I agree with you. I'm just not quite sure there are enough people out there willing to stand up and say what needs to be said. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for coming on the show. Hang in there, and I'll be glad to take some heat from you this this week on the show.
Thanks for stepping up and taking some of those arrows, Todd. I appreciate it.
We're glad to serve. Thanks, Congressman Thomas Massie from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And man, was the I don't think I've seen President Trump that angry. He was fired up. But I say good for the congressman. He was standing up for, and honestly, I would have loved to have seen every other Republican stand up and do the same thing. But you know what? They weren't willing to take the hard stand. And there you go. All right. You know what? Before we take a break here, we've got time to get one call in, and then we're going to open up the phone lines for the rest of the hour. Let's go to LJ, Georgia, our good friend Joe from LJ. Joe, how are things at Sea Island?
Todd, they're doing great, and you got the best talk show in America, and I wanted to share with you, Steve Moore is a very good friend of mine, and he was on Levin last night, and he said, we have got to open up this economy for sure after April 30th, and I called him just as soon as he got off the air, and I said, Steve, you were great on Levin, and he said, well, Joe, we have got to open up this economy April 30th, and just like Congressman Massey said, I'm down here, Todd, at Sea Island, talking to a lot of people from all over the country, and everybody I've talked to says, we got to open up the country. We cannot go on. And I think, you know, we all need to continue to stay 6 feet apart. And that's important. And wash your hands. But we got to get this economy going, don't you think?
Yeah, I do, Joe. And I think the average American understands because, look, the money's running out and we cannot have an entire country depending on the government for a check because sooner or later those checks are going to run out, too.
Well, Todd, I'll let you go. But I tell you what, my goal is to be the number one supporter of the great Todd Starnes radio show. Thank you for everything. And keep up your great work for the American people.
Well, thank you for saying that, Joe. And you guys stay safe down there in Sea Island, Georgia. And by the way, before we go to break here, Joe's in Ellijay, Georgia. I understand in Fannin County, Georgia, which is just a neighboring county, they're actually setting up roadblocks.
Yeah, I was actually there this weekend because we just sort of get out of the house, drove up into the mountains of Georgia, and there were some Fannin County sheriff's deputies to greet us. When we got down there, very nice, very cordial, but they were like, yeah, you can't be palling around down here. As long as you're passing through, it's no problem. But they're not letting people from outside the county stay in.
Well, I can't say I blame them because you want to try to keep your community safe. And again, this is what blows my mind here, guys. If this thing is as contagious as they tell us, and I have no reason to doubt it at all, but if it is as contagious as they say, shut down the airlines. Shut down the subways, shut down the borders, isolate the hot zones. But they don't want to do that. And it makes absolutely no sense to me. All right, folks, got to take a break here. Two questions. Do you think the government's telling us everything they know about this? And number two, is it time to reopen the country? 844-747-8868, toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. Hope you guys are doing good, staying safe out there. Someone just wrote in, Skipper says, hey, Todd, Dr. Oz on Fox News said hospitals in New York are like a war zone. Okay, well, and Skipper says, are the hospitals overwhelmed with patients or not? And Skipper, the answer to that question is they will not tell us. The hospitals will not tell us. And we had that in writing. We actually posted a screenshot of the message we received from one of the largest hospitals in New York City. They're just not telling us. So we cannot answer that question because they refuse to tell us that information. And we have not been inside the emergency rooms because reporters are not allowed inside emergency rooms. So there you go. All right. Let's get to the phones. Laura from Conway, South Carolina. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd. My question to you was exactly what you were talking about, the hospitals. I recently received the video of you going around the Brooklyn Hospital, and I sent it to my girlfriend, and she said it was kind of biased. She has a girlfriend right now whose daughter is very, very ill, and in New York. And she said they called and they said there was no hospital available for her in the state of New York or in New Jersey. So finally, she went down to a 4-hour drive to South New Jersey. I just find it hard to believe with 214 hospitals in New York and 113 in New Jersey.
Yeah, I have not heard that hospitals are turning away patients. But then again, we asked that question to the email we sent out to the hospital media relations people last week, and they would not answer those questions. But I have not heard of people being turned away from hospitals in New York, as in all of the hospitals. And, you know, they've been talking a lot about Elmhurst Hospital, which is in Queens. That seems to be one of the epicenters. And again, I do not know if they're filled to overflowing, but if they are, typically they would just send somebody to another hospital in the city.
Yes, that's what I thought maybe your doctor just was talking about the local hospital that didn't have room for her. So, mm-hmm. But I just wanted to check with you.
No, look, I'm glad you did, Laura, and it's frustrating because I think we do need information, and that's the point, and we're just not getting it right now. By the way, the hospital ship Comfort, the USNS Comfort, just arrived in New York City a little while ago and was in New York Harbor. Quite a scene there to watch that big ship come in. So they'll be setting up that hospital. Javits Center is supposed to open up as a field hospital today. And we'll see what that's all about. And we'll get reports from that as well. All right. Let's go to Florida. Keith, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Todd. Excuse me. The media did one of the biggest malfeasance yesterday, letting this number float out there, 2.2 million at the highest and 100,000 at the lowest. Now, keep in mind, 12 weeks right now, the whole wide world is 35,000. The very first question that should have came out of their mouth was, what was the time constraint you put on that? Was it a day, a week, a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 100,000? And it's at 35,000 right now after 12 weeks in the world. It was pure fear-mongering.
Yes, it is. And again, there is a narrative that the mainstream media is trying to shove down our throats. And they act like this is that there was a movie several years back called Contagion. That was, it told the story of some sort of a national, crisis, a health crisis, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people died. I just get the impression that a lot of people in a lot of newsrooms around America watch that movie, and they're it's almost as if they're not doing they're not telling the news. They're creating some sort of a reality TV movie.
Because we're in Florida, and Florida's a microcosm.
Hey, you know what, Keith? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be able to finish that thought, but we've got to take a break for the news. Can you hold on for a moment?
Sure.
All right, Keith from Florida, we're going to get right back to you, plus your calls as well, 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, folks, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. To the Todd Stearns radio show. I'll tell you, folks, the hate mail from some of these leftist loons, it's fairly entertaining to watch. A lot of people ask me if I have, bodyguards. No, not really. I figure I can probably handle myself against some of these little pajama boy snowflakes. They're... Anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is. And all these people out there, and I am really disappointed. And there are some high profile conservatives, some of whom work at my former place of employment, the Fox News Corner of the World, and they're attacking me. Todd, how could you share that video? How could you say that this is a hoax? Well, for one thing, I never said it was a hoax. Got to be careful of the fake news, even among some of the conservative joints. Never said it was a hoax. But what I did say was, and I never even used the word hoax. I just said the mainstream media is blowing all of this up. And we cannot terrorize the average American citizen. And that's exactly what the mainstream media is doing right now. They're just terrorizing them. All right. Well, look, we had Keith from Florida, who was kind enough to hold over. He was in mid-thought, and we had to take a break so we could pay some bills around here. So Keith is back with us. And Keith, my apologies, but go ahead and finish what you were saying.
And I humbly say this, it should go across the country, this message. You know, after being in Florida for 51 years, I have learned that government is not the first responder, local, state, federal. They are the cleanup crew. With all the hurricanes that have been broadcast across our country, a lot of people should already know this. We sat down 15 days ago with the information that we had, not really knowing what was going on, and we figured out we could handle it on our own, and we went into self-quarantine. We're older and have underlying conditions. And all we had to get was, because of the hurricanes, all we had to get was milk, bread, and a little more Louisiana hot sauce.
Oh, that's pretty much it's duct tape, and you're good.
You know, I don't understand why people, if the government makes decisions for on the collective basis of the country, you need to sit down with your family and decide what's safe for you. You shouldn't need the government to tell you when to go into quarantine. You need to do that with your family. It's just the people out there yelling, the 70% of the people yelling to close down the whole country, those are the ones that are probably out there and still doing it. And responsible people are already taking actions besides the government. They don't need the government to come tell them how to keep their family safe. They know how to do it.
You know, this is a good point you bring up, Keith. And I remember last week you had the mayor of New York City almost hyperventilating, saying, we want the government to step in. What is the government going to do for us? You had the mayor of New Orleans saying, well, if the president had told us to shut down Mardi Gras, you know, we would have done it. He should have told us. That's not his responsibility. That is a local decision. That is a state decision. It is not a federal decision.
Well, I want to know, the governor said Saturday that they had enough PP gear and supplies for a week. The mayor said it Sunday on TV, but we continually get these pictures of garbage bags over their PP thing and political statements by nurses. I heard one report this morning that she works in a hospital. They had enough for a week's supplies in her storage, and she went home, and it wasn't that busy overnight. They were gone when she came back.
And, you know, the president raised that question during his interview on Fox and Friends, the president talking about where all the masks are going. Cut number 8. Let's listen to this.
And I bring that up because when we discussed back in a room, we were in a conference room, very nice one, actually. It's called the Cabinet Room. That statement was made that they've been delivering for years 10 to 20,000 masks. Okay, it's a New York hospital, it's packed all the time. How do you go from 10 to 20 to 300,000? 10 to 20,000 masks to 300,000, even though this is different. Something's going on, and you ought to look into it as reporters. Where are the masks going? Are they going out the back door? How do you go from 10,000 to 300,000? And we have that in a lot of different places. So somebody should probably look into that, because I just don't see from a practical standpoint how that's possible to go from that to that. And we have that happening in numerous places. Not to that extent. That was the highest number I've heard. That's the highest number you've seen, I would imagine, right? But this man makes them and delivers them to a lot of hospitals. He knows the system better than anybody. And I think you were more surprised than I was when you saw that number. So thank you very much. I hope I didn't get any of your clients in trouble.
So, look, I want to ask you about something, Keith, moving on to one other question. And again, folks, this is a listener. This is a caller driven show. In other words, we invite you guys to call in. And I mean, who wants to hear me do a monologue for 3 hours? Right. So we want to know what's happening boots on the ground in your communities. And let's be honest, this is the only way we're getting any information. So, Keith, I am curious. I want to get your reaction as a Floridian. You know, your governor stopping folks at the border. He's catching a lot of flack from the folks in New York State. But how do you feel as a Floridian about the job the governor's doing down there?
I think he's doing a great job. Personally, I feel it's unconstitutional for him to do that. But at the same time, he's in charge of the state. And he can't stop commerce, but I would like to try to get information if you're here with a good reason and where you're going and the address. And, you know, Rhode Island's checking up on him. I think she canceled that, actually. But he only did 10 at first, mm-hmm. and now he's doing 10 and 95. We got 75 right in the middle.
Yep.
I mean,
yes. That's
either close or not.
Right there.
Yeah.
Well, look, Keith, I appreciate you listening to the show. Thank you for calling in. And I want you to do us a favor. Give us a call back. Let us know how things are going down there in the state of Florida. All right. 844-747-8868. It is a toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Central Missouri. Brandel is listening to us on our live stream. What's happening there in Central Missouri?
Hello?
You are on the air.
Hi. Well, right now I'm sitting in a field watching my kids fish out of a pond. So life's pretty cool and calm here.
So no case of the coronavirus in your neck of the woods?
No, that's what gets me. I don't understand why we are wanting to shut everything down across the whole U.S. Todd, I've been looking on like the MissouriHealth.gov. For cases in our area. In the county we live in, there are no cases. And all the surrounding counties, there's maybe one. I just don't think, you know, this is not New York. So why do these small businesses around here have to shut down when there's nothing going on out here?
You know, I'm wondering how many of those small businesses are actually going to be able to reopen.
Right. It's a shame. It's a shame what's happening in this country. And I think it's driven by fear.
That is, you know, and that's a terrific question. You know, what exactly is driving all of this? Because you're right. I mean, there is a lot of anxiety out there. But honestly, here in our neighborhood in Brooklyn, I think it's very calm. Everybody's doing what the government is asking them to do. I don't see a lot of people wandering around except to go to the market. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I don't either. And as a Christian, I tell you what, we have to put our hope in Christ. I don't know if your viewers realize this, but every single one of us have a 1 out of 1 chance of dying. So instead of worrying about the dying part, maybe we need to worry about getting our hearts and lives right before Jesus Christ, because the Bible says there comes death and then the judgment. So my mind is thinking I better be worried about that judgment part of it, not the whole life and death part of it.
Well, that's a pretty good observation.
Wake up, America, and get your hearts right with Jesus Christ. He's willing and ready to forgive.
By the way, what are the boys catching in the pond there? What are y'all fishing for?
Well, they're not catching anything. They said they are staying until they catch something, but it's about lunchtime, so I'm about ready to give up and go home.
Make some tuna. You know, it's a
yeah.
There you go. All right, Brandon. Thank you for calling in. And give us an update. Give us a holler back next week and let us know what's happening there in Central Missouri. You know, before we go to break, guys, I want to bring in Gene from St. Petersburg, Florida. Gene saw our Facebook posting. Gene, hey, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, a friend sent me through Facebook Messenger a video of Todd at the Brooklyn Hospital.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, Todd. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. And I listened and I watched, and you videoed the area where the tents were, where the testing was should have been taking place. Walked around to the front of the hospital, still no one in sight. And yet, I'm thinking Brooklyn. I don't know really how big it is. I looked it up. In 2010, the census said it had 2.7 million. I'm sure it's way beyond that now. I looked up the number of cases in Brooklyn. On the 20th of March, it said you had 4,000. Well, that's 10 days ago. That number should have exponentially increased. Where is everybody? How is that possible?
That's a good question, Gene. And look, I get it. We were not inside the hospital. But regardless, the issue here is with, you know, if in fact we had those numbers, you would see those people outside. They would have the makeshift hospitals, the triage. You would have the lines of people. And it was clear they were expecting that because, you know, had that you saw the police barricades. There just were not a lot of people there. And again, I'm trying to explain to folks that what the mainstream media is telling us may not necessarily be accurate. And that is not to lessen this disease at all. This is just we've got to tell the media to ease up on the fear mongering and the hysteria.
You know, I think that's the thing that worries me the most. I have complete confidence in President Trump. I trust him regardless of what I can't even imagine. Not seeing how he has operated since this came about has just made me proud and given me up the maximum confidence in his skill level is we've needed a businessman there for a long time. But I'm afraid that the news is just leading us astray. I mean, not that it's not there, but it's just not as bad as what they're saying. I mean, how could it be if there's nobody on the street?
Fair. It's a fair question, Gene. Hey, look, we're going to have to leave it there. Gene, we want you to start listening to the show on a daily basis, and you can do that over at toddstarnes.com. Folks, we have the live stream. You can listen to us anytime, and we also have our free podcast, and you can download that as well. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
University Newsmaker line from the Trump 2020 campaign, our good friend Mark Lauder. Mark, hope you're doing good today.
I am, Todd. Thank you. Hope you are as well.
You know, I am. Thank you. I have to say, I thought the president did a terrific job on Facts and Friends this morning. And he said, you know, again, he said what needed to be said about Nancy Pelosi. The idea that she can get out there on national television and accuse this president of being responsible for people dying as a result of this virus is outrageous.
No, it is outrageous. And it follows up on yesterday when she went on one of the Sunday shows and accused the president of basically delaying action while we all know it was her House of Representatives that tied up Congress with the impeachment sham. And while she was doing that, the president was closing off the borders to the epicenter in Wuhan, China. And I mean, it just shows you that they will say anything to try to get power back, and the mainstream media will not push back on it.
And, you know, a good friend of mine, Trish Regan, formerly of Fox Business Network, said a couple of weeks ago that do not be surprised if the Democrats use this as a way to go after the president. And then sure enough, yesterday, Pelosi suggested that there will be investigations into how the president handled the crisis. Unbelievable.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, they are trying to politicize this at every step of the way. Let's remember, you know, Joe Biden and many other Democrats called the president xenophobic and racist when he closed the borders. Then they said he wasn't doing enough. Then they actually said that you know, they were the ones that were taking charge when it was Nancy Pelosi that was trying to that delayed the stimulus package for a week while she tried to add the Green New Deal and all kinds of other issues that had nothing to do with the coronavirus response, all trying to placate her liberal base. And here we are once again, that the mainstream media doesn't ask those tough questions. They only ask them to President Trump. They don't ask anything to the other side and take whatever they say at face value.
Meanwhile, this president is actually doing something about the crisis in America. We had the USNS Comfort just arrived here in New York City about an hour or so ago. You've got 80 tons of protective equipment that just arrived at JFK. I mean, this president is delivering on what needs to be done.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, going further back, he's actually fixed a broken system. And the president's been very clear. He is not blaming previous administrations, but what he inherited, what systems we had set up in place were not capable of handling the crisis that we face right now. And so what we're seeing with this president, whether it is fixing the testing problem, fixing the supply chains, we're seeing him set up in real time a response program that can serve our nation well into the future.
In the meantime, the president is also reaching out to small businesses. We've got about a minute here. What, $350 billion in loans, that some of which will be forgivable. That's huge for small businesses.
Now, it just shows we have a businessman in the White House who understands that if we can keep small businesses going, if they can keep their employees on their payroll, keep sending them their paychecks, keep them on their benefit packages, then with through forgivable loans in the, for that, when we get this economy going again, they'll be right there raring to go, not having to rehire people, find people who've gone and found other jobs in other places. That's the key to having a quick, rapid recovery, something we didn't see under the Obama and Biden administration.
Well said. Well said. All right, Mark, we're going to have to leave it there. I apologize for the short segment, but it's kind of crazy around here. You know how it goes.
I totally understand, Todd.
All right. Mark Lauder from the Trump 2020 campaign. We'll get Mark back on and we'll have more time to chat. But it's good that you guys are able to hear from these folks. And we can get they can get the message out, and we can send messages to them as well, which is the point of this radio program, for you guys to join the national discourse. And we have a lot of people in the mainstream media. We have a lot of people on the White House and up on Capitol Hill who listen to this program, and they hear your voices. And that's why we love having you guys call in and share with us what's happening. And coming up in the next hour, by the way, our good friend Jen Kearns is going to be here, and we're going to have a little bit of fun. A couple of the guys who did one of those parody videos, they're going to join us in the next hour of the show and share some of their musical abilities with us. And we're also going to be taking your questions and your comments as well. What is happening in your community? Is your community setting up checkpoints? What is the situation at your local hospitals? Are you a doctor or a nurse? We would love to hear from you. I know you can't talk specifics, but maybe you can tell us what's happening in your facility. And ladies and gentlemen, the question of the day, do you believe the government is telling us everything about this virus? 844-747-8868. It's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.